This episode is brought to you by Iams Pet Food. When you choose Iams dry dog or cat food, you can see a difference in your pet with your own eyes. Healthy energy in 5 days, healthy digestion in 10 days, and healthy skin and coat in just 25 days. Satisfaction for you and them. Guaranteed or your money back. Feed Iams dry dog or cat food and see a visible difference. Visit Iams.com/difference to learn more.
We are less than 24 hours away from the NFL season. Ravens, Chiefs tomorrow night. Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst, and of course, two-time Super Bowl champ, kind enough to join us. Booger, what is week one like from a player perspective? Where's your body at? Where's your mind at this week?
Well, everybody's excited to play because it's the first game of the season. You haven't really played in several months, even though preseason and scrimmages and practicing against other teams has taken place. You never hadn't gotten out there and taken anybody to the ground and then had to line up and do it over and over again for basically 3 hours. That's the mental part. The physical part, you really never know, because until you play football, you can't get in football shape. So none of these guys have played 70 snaps. And so which team best is in the position to either rotate players or those players are ready to play as long as they can? I think that's the key. Offensively, it's a lot easier to play a lot of snaps. Defensively, both defenses are going to have to rotate a lot of players because nobody is going to be in game shape yet because you haven't played 60 or 70 plays. Some of these guys hadn't played a game in 6 or 7 months. So that'll be the key from the physical standpoint. But let's face it, we get paid a lot of money to play this sport. So regardless of how hard it is, we got to show up and get it done.
We'll save LSU for a moment, Boog. Being a fellow boot boy, we're going to set that aside for just a moment before we get to that. If there's one player not named, and I know you noticed you went silent there on the whole LSU thing. We'll touch on it, Boog. It's okay,
ruthless,
man.
Ruthless.
College football playoff,
we're
man.
Still we're still alive.
We're at 12. We're at 12 teams. We're good, Boog. Hey, if there's a player not named Patrick Mahomes as one of the a dominant defensive lineman that you were, who's that one guy that you'd be like, damn, this is going to be a hard week to face?
Well, I mean, right now the best defensive lineman in the game on the interior is Chris Jones. I think, you know, when it comes to edge guys, I mean, it's a lot of guys that are stacking up with Michael Parsons, T.J. Watt, Miles Garrett. It's a lot of guys on the edge, man. But inside right now, you know, the cream of the crop is Chris Jones, and I think he's going to be on display. There are some other guys, Matt Abike for Baltimore, just to name a few that are really good. But if you're going to talk about being on that level as far as being a dominant guy, he's a three-time Super Bowl champion. He was already supplanting Aaron Donald as the premier D-tackle in the game. Over the last couple of years, he had better seasons than Aaron Donald. I would have to say it's Chris Jones.
Flip it around. One offensive player, not named Mahomes, that you would, when you're preparing for him, you're going, oh, this is going to be a rough week.
Yeah, it's probably got to be Christian McCaffrey, right, because he can do so much. And you know they're going to get him the football. And he can touch it in so many different ways. He can get it out of the backfield. He can line up at wide receiver. He can catch screens. I mean, he's been the ultimate Swiss Army knife since he's been in the National Football League. He's made a ton of plays. He's been pretty durable. I know he had that calf this training camp, but by all accounts, he took 4 weeks off, and he should be ready to go. But definitely wouldn't want to see CMC coming.
Booger McFarland joining us here on Amber and Ian. So none of these guys are in football shape yet here in week one. When do you get into football shape, Booger, as a player? When do you really feel it?
It probably takes you 2 to 3 games before you kind of get in that rhythm. Guys are going to be sucking wind. Guys are going to have the oxygen. But you got to do it 2 or 3 times. And what I mean by that is this. It's playing a game is different than practice. So when you play a game, you make a tackle. 40 seconds from that tackle, the ball is snapped again. And then 40 seconds later, the ball is snapped again. And if you don't get a stop, you may have to do that 7, 8, 9 times in a row. And then guess what? If your offense goes 3 and out, you got to come back and you got to do that again. And so you got to be in game shape to get that done. And that takes a lot of time to get in game shape. But none of these guys have done that just because it's a little hard right now. So usually 2, 3 games, maybe a month, and then you'll start to see guys rounding the form.
Surprise team in the league that not a lot of people are talking about, Booger, that you think might be there by the end of the season as far as a Super Bowl contender?
Well, Super Bowl contender, that's tough because very few teams just run up to the Super Bowl. Surprise team that could make the postseason, Indy, Chicago, if Caleb is as good as advertising, that defense return to form. But when you say Super Bowl, you really eliminate the surprises, because I think we know who the teams are. You know, on the AFC side, Houston, Kansas City, Baltimore, just to name the top three. On the NFC side, it's a lot deeper, I think. I mean, you could go San Francisco, Green Bay, you could go Detroit. I mean, I can go on and on. Like, we all know who the teams are. And then there are those teams where you say, if the Jets can stay healthy, if Deshaun Watson returns right to form, if Dak Prescott can make some plays in the postseason. And so you have to add those teams to the mix.
One fellow boot boy to another. LSU still alive. Boog, your Bengal Tigers are still alive.
They're gonna be okay.
With the 12-team college football
playoff. I'm not even really concerned about being alive. See, everybody worries about the end in the beginning, and players don't. So here's what I look at. I look at how we play.
Come on.
And to me, that matters most. I didn't like the 10 penalties. I didn't like some of the showboating. And so when BK says what he says after the game, I know exactly what he meant, because you get the ball back 17-13 and you got the ball with 8 minutes left. You should win that game. But LSU didn't. And I think Brian Kelly has to take a lot of onus for that. And he was rightfully upset. So I'm not concerned about the playoff, because I know all those things come after you do other things, and the Tigers got a lot of work to do.
10 seconds. Was the fist slam real from BK?
I mean, I take a man for his word. The man was upset. Like, we all get upset in different ways, so I'm going to take him for his word.
Booger McFarland, two-time Super Bowl champ. More importantly, ESPN football analyst. Thanks, Booger. We appreciate you.
Later.
Dude, that guy. I mean, I'm with you, Amber. That to me, the Brian Kelly slam on the desk was a message, like Nick Saban used to deliver a message to his team through the media. That was Brian Kelly going, just because we're up 17-13 with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, the game is not over. We have to close them out. I'm with you 100%. It
now,
was
I think he was genuinely mad.
Oh, yeah.
After the game.
But the
I
whole
mean,
tone.
They lost the game. Obviously, yeah. They were upset. He should have been mad. And they had that game in their hand. And so you don't lose that game in that way at the end of the game there. But I don't believe the fist on the table, that part felt very contrived. Like, he wasn't that. Like, he was building himself up to try to be that mad, to really exemplify to us how mad he was, but he wasn't actually that mad that he's punching things.
Yeah, it was a message to his team by pounding the table. We have to close out games. Just because we're up 17-13 with 11 minutes to go doesn't mean we've won the game. And I was behind. You know what? And I'm angry with myself for not reporting this at the time, but there was a cavalier attitude behind that LSU bench that Garrett Nussmeier was getting frustrated by with Kyron Lacy and others. Yeah, and clearly Brian Kelly saw it, right, and was not happy about it. So to your point, and I think you were spot on, this was a message delivered by a veteran head coach to his team through the media. We have to finish games. Just because we're up in the fourth quarter doesn't mean we're winning in the fourth quarter. See Georgia Clemson, 6-0 at half. What was the final score in that bad boy?
Right.
Georgia punished Clemson and finished a game.
Right. Well, Georgia whooped them. You can't say the same about USC LSU, but USC does end up winning that game, even though LSU had it there late in the fourth, 27-20. That was a neutral territory game. Ian was out there in Las Vegas, Nevada, when his flight home got canceled and he got stuck for an extra night, which you never want. You never want to do in Las Vegas. You never want to do. Amazing city, such a fun place. 2 nights, 3 days, you get the hell out.
Amen.
You can't get stuck there. Can't get stuck there.
3 nights, no bueno.
We are going to get stuck here, though, on Amber and Ian, because coming up next, our NFL preview hour continues. We've got live game action less than 24 hours from now. We'll get into that right here on ESPN Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Untuckit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network. In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
We're fired up here on Amber and Ian, presented to you by Progressive Insurance, because we've got NFL football in just about exactly 24 hours from now. The NFL season kicks off. Ravens, Chiefs, 8:20 p.m. Eastern. They always kick it off in a huge way. Ian, and this game, of course, feels huge amongst two incredibly high-flying, powerful offenses that we'll see right out of the gate.
Kansas City, a 3-point favorite against Baltimore. Come on, I'm with you. This one should be a dandy tomorrow. But here's the one thing that when we say should be a dandy, the first 2 weeks are going to be like preseason games for a lot of these teams. Yeah, it's we're excited to have it back, but because of the lack of contact and everything else in camps, these first 2 weeks, reminder, it ain't going to be the prettiest that you're going to see in the NFL.
Well, let's head to Baltimore. Cordell Woodland, he covers the Ravens for 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore, kind enough to give us some of his time. And Cordell, what do you expect to see out there? Because I'm sure that you probably just heard a snippet of that conversation on our way in, that the way that football is now and the way that kind of the preseason's treated, these first couple weeks end up looking really, really sloppy. We're not used to these two teams in particular, the Ravens and the Chiefs, looking sloppy. But do you have that same sort of expectation for tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair assessment. You know, week one.
Cordell, do you have us? We got you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. You never really know what you're going to get in week one. The Ravens, they didn't play a lot of their starters in the preseason. That's kind of been their way for the last few years, considering their bad luck at times with the injuries. So you never really know. I will say for Baltimore exclusively, September has been really good for them. The last few years, I think Lamar Jackson has been the AFC September play offensive player of the month the last two seasons. I have to check that, but they've been really good in that early part of the season. So I expect both of these teams to be competitive tomorrow night. The Ravens definitely have some questions about their team, and so do Kansas City. And I don't know if we'll get the answers to those questions in one game, but I expect these two teams to still put on a show.
You're around this team day in, day out. How frustrated or tired is Lamar Jackson of hearing about a lack of postseason success?
It's weird because, you know, Lamar, anytime anybody asks him about what the outside people think or about certain narratives that are there on him, he kind of brushes them off. You know, he makes it seem as though he doesn't pay attention to a lot of that stuff, and he's just locked in on the goal. I think, you know, two things can be true at once. I think Lamar definitely moves at the beat of his own drum. He does kind of block out noise. But at the same time, Lamar's on social media. He sees a lot of these things. He, you know, it's inevitable. He lives in the same world we do. So I'm sure he sees a lot of this stuff, but I'll say he does a good job of kind of still going out there and doing his business. I'm sure he's as ticked off as anybody about the lack of postseason success, his lack of production in the postseason. And last year, he goes as far as he has to this point in his career, going to the AFC Championship game. All he talked about last year, and really since he's been drafted, is about winning the Super Bowl. For them to get so close last year and come up short, I'm sure it leaves a bad taste in his mouth. So he'll be at it again this year, as hungry as ever to try to get another one. I expect nothing less from him.
You know how this game works, Cordell. You can't win a playoff game until you do. Then you can't win multiple playoff games. Then you can't win a conference championship. Then you can't win a Super Bowl until you actually do. Mm-hmm. That's how these things go in terms of narrative. Cordell Woodland, he covers the Ravens for 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore, kind enough to join us here on Amber and Ian. So Lamar coming off of another MVP season. Cordell, do you think it gets harder for Lamar to win that award moving forward? Like, what do you think he would need to do this season in order to get a back-to-back here now that we're so used to seeing his greatness?
Yeah, I do think to a degree there probably is a little bit of Lamar fatigue, quote-unquote, when it comes to the MVP because, you know, the national pundits, for them, they don't even really acknowledge the second MVP that much. It's more so just about what he hasn't done to this point. So even if he does get another one, I think that narrative will still be there until he checks that box. But in terms of what he has to do to get the MVP, I think what I love about Lamar is he's now won the MVP with two different body types and two different offenses playing two different ways. And now I think the way he wins a third MVP would be to kind of combine both things together. Last year we got more of the passer Lamar, and I think he has steps that he can still take to get better in that regard this year, one of them being better on the down-the-field passes, being more of an on-time passer. So if he can do those things and combine that with getting back to the big plays in the run game the way that we saw back when he won the MVP the first time, I think that would be a recipe for success if he wants to win a third MVP. If he really is able to put the entire package together and really give people the full view on the full game of Lamar Jackson, he's as electrifying as anybody in this league. We'll see both the top two electrifying quarterbacks, in my opinion, tomorrow night. If anybody can do it, it'll definitely be him.
Cordell Woodland joining us. So a big one tomorrow night, anyway you cut it, because it's the start of the NFL season. But obviously with the Ravens facing this particular Chiefs team, and we all know that the Chiefs are the darlings of the NFL of late, do you think it matters what happens tomorrow night in terms of the temperature that you're going to hear from fans on 105.7 after this game? I mean, if they go lose this thing, are fans going to be upset? Or do you think that fans in Baltimore know, hey, it's week one, let's keep it moving?
I fans are kind of out of their minds most times than not, and I include myself in that. I'm the same way about my own personal team, so I'm not throwing any shade or anything at them. It's just the reality. Fans will definitely be upset if the Ravens lose this game. Don't get me wrong, there will be some that come more level-headed than others and look at the full picture and say it's just one game and it's not even a divisional game at that. But definitely there are a lot of fans in Baltimore that still have a bad taste left in their mouth from the AFC Championship game. And it is not so much that they lost to the Chiefs. I think it's more so about the fact that the Ravens didn't play their style of ball. They did not run the ball. The defense gave them a chance, and they didn't play the Ravens' way. They wanted to beat the Chiefs by playing like the Chiefs, and that's not the recipe for success against that team. So I think if the Ravens lose, yes, fans will be upset, but it's more so about how they lose. If they're able to go out there and run the ball and give the ball to Derrick Henry, play good defense, play that physical style of football that the Ravens like, I'd like to think that there will be some fans out there that'll kind of be okay with the fact that at least their team looked recognizable on Thursday night. But if they want to go out there and throw the ball 40-plus times and get away from the run game, yes, fans will definitely be upset about that again.
I don't know if a rematch for week one is quite the same stakes here in terms of what we think of as rematches, but certainly the Ravens get an opportunity here against, of course, a tough Kansas City team to kick the season off right. Cordell Woodland, you can hear him on 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore. Thanks, Cordell. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Again, that game kicks off 8:20 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night. And Ian, I do think that both of these teams are probably going to look a bit sloppier than we're even thinking that they're going to. Particularly like what Cordell just said. These aren't teams that play a bunch of their starters in the preseason. Harbaugh has been known for that in Baltimore for years now. And so there's gonna be some growing pains, I think, that we're going to see in week one either way.
Well, we talked to Dalton Kincaid, Buffalo Bills tight end. You know, Herm Edwards, former NFL head coach, have all talked about it. The first couple weeks, it takes your body, you know, that time to get calloused to get ready because you can't go full contact that much anymore in NFL training.
And you're not
camps.
In football shape yet either.
That's
I mean, you're
my
just
point.
Not.
Yeah. Your body's
like
not
Booker
leathered for it.
McFarland, when he was on with us, he referenced how winded you get. I mean, just even that alone.
Yeah. The first 2 weeks are damn near preseason games that actually count.
Right. Well, and this one counts. And this one certainly counts. And it probably counts more to Ravens fans than to Chiefs fans when you consider the way that last season did end for them.
Yeah, I know we're up against it here, but just for people who may not understand, in NFL training camps, you're only allowed so much contact. Right. They don't go to the ground anymore unless you're in goal line D, and that's maybe one session every third day in NFL training camps. That's why when you hear a Dalton Kincaid or Herm Edwards or whomever talking about how the first 2 weeks are a feeling out session, it's because you're not able to really have full contact because of league mandated rules.
So these two teams are going to be trying to find their footing while in a big rematch, while opening the season in a big way, in a tough one again in Kansas City. Ravens at Chiefs tomorrow night, 8:20 p.m. Eastern. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we'll continue with this conversation during our special NFL preview right here on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We're officially less than 24 hours away from NFL football. NFL football that matters. NFL football that counts. Even if it's probably going to look a little sloppy here in week one and week two as these guys get into NFL game shape. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive. You can always hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. At Ian Fitz ESPN is how you find him. So we covered the Baltimore angle. Let's now head to Kansas City. Adam Teicher, ESPN Chiefs reporter, kind enough to give us some of his time. And Adam, what is the temperature here around this Chiefs team? Because typically, if you're sitting at the top of the league and you've been as dominant as this team has been here over the last half decade, and you have the best quarterback right now on planet Earth, you probably shouldn't feel much pressure. But they're also trying to do something that we've never seen any team do in the Super Bowl era in NFL history. So do you feel like there's still a lot of pressure on this Chiefs team this season?
Yeah, I do. You know, as crazy as this might sound, you know, if they don't go out and get their three-peat, it might be looked at as a disappointment after winning the last two, you know? So I think a little bit. I think they've got the right kind of people to handle that kind of pressure. So, you know, maybe if anybody can do it, it's this group. But, yeah, I do think it's, you know, they're going for history, and I think everybody's going to look back at – at a disappointing season if they don't get it.
All right, Adam, that's crazy for anybody who follows the NFL to say, right? Put it into perspective for the casual fan getting ready for tomorrow night, how insane that is what you just said.
No, it is. I'm not going to argue, but that's sort of where they've set the bar.
It's amazing. That's amazing.
I remember talking to Travis Kelce in the moments after last year's Super Bowl, and I said, "Hey, you're going to play again?" And he said, "Of course, I'm going to play one more year." He goes, "We're going for a three-peat." I mean, it was already on their mind going back to the moments after last year's Super Bowl. So you know that this means a lot to this group. I mean, you talk about legacy, you're talking about guys like Mahomes and Chris Jones and Travis Kelce and a number of other guys. You know, they can put their stamp on this in a way no other team has put a stamp on the NFL in the Super Bowl era, and you bet it means a lot to them. So, it's crazy, and I agree with you, but I think there's going to be at least some of that if they don't make a real strong run at this, at the very least.
Most of us would kill for one. I can't imagine being in this situation.
My dog's great.
I think that there's some truth to it. Adam Teicher joining us here on Amber and Ian. I feel like I'm starting to ask this question every year, Adam, but what are the expectations for the new look Chiefs wide receiver room once again this season?
Yeah, well, the Chiefs, as we know, brought in Xavier Worthy, drafted him in the first round, and signed Hollywood Brown, who won't play tomorrow night. He's got a dislocated shoulder, and so he's going to miss at least tomorrow night's game. But they're expecting big things. I mean, Pat Mahomes said something interesting during training camp. He said last year wasn't very fun. I think winning the Super Bowl was fun, but the grind leading up to that, when things just didn't work the way he or the Chiefs wanted for a lot of the year, was not fun. So they went out and they picked up two fast receivers and re-signed Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, there's some real big expectations here that group will bring the Chiefs closer to what we know their passing game to be, more closer to what they were in the early years with Pat Mahomes, as opposed to what they were last year. We'll see if they're right or not, but they really struggled getting big plays, and they led the league in drop passes last year among wide receivers. So they're expecting a much better production out of that group, no doubt.
Adam, you're around practice every day. So when you're talking about that word fun, how, if at all, was this particular camp coming into game one tomorrow night, how did it feel this year compared to last year?
At camp, I don't think there's any difference. Andy Reid's practices are really an amazing thing to see. They get a lot of good work done, and there's not a lot of messing around. There's no fights or extracurricular stuff. I mean, they get a lot of good work done, and so it's very businesslike. That's not to say maybe at the end of a play there aren't some guys celebrating a particularly good play or something like that, but for the most part, it's a real business-like thing, and so I wouldn't describe their practices as fun. That's not the goal there with this stuff. So what he asked, Andy Reid said, "Hey, give me 2 good hours every single day, and I'll go easy on you. I won't ask more out of you than that, but you got to give me 2 good hours a day." And that's sort of been his philosophy ever since he's been with the Chiefs, and I'm sure back with the Eagles as well. And so you can sort of see the Chiefs making progress from day to day. And it really is an interesting phenomenon how they work and how they, it's not, you look at what the Chiefs have done to start the season over the years. I mean, yeah, they've had some good teams, but even going back to the pre-Mahomes days, there's a bunch of 5-0 starts. There was a 9-0 start. Last year they lost the opener on the Thursday night by 1 point, and then they won the next 6. I mean, they're always ready to go, or almost always ready to go when the regular season starts. And one of the reasons why, I think, is the way they practice during training camp. So, yeah, again, I wouldn't describe what they've done for the last month or so as fun for them.
ESPN Chiefs reporter Adam Teicher joining us here on Amber and Ian. Adam, you have spent your entire career, you majored in journalism in college, you had spent decades at the Kansas City Star, you've written books. I mean, you've spent your entire career here as a journalist and as a writer that has spanned so many decades. Is it strange to also have to now spend so much time in your career talking about what I would imagine that you do anyways with Travis Kelce and his girlfriend, Taylor Swift? Is that strange from a consummate journalism perspective? Because we were talking, I mean, like, there's rumors out there today and Travis Kelce's people have to come out and say, we haven't broken up. Is that strange for you to always have to be covering these things or addressing these things about these players' personal lives?
Yeah, they don't teach you about this in journalism school, right? There's there was no class or chapter that covered this. So, yeah, you sort of have to learn on the fly, no doubt about it.
You are so tired of hearing about Taylor Swift. You are so – I get it. We get it. Yes, I get it. Done.
Yeah, it's part of the phenomenon that this team is. I mean, it's you know, hey, you're right, Amber. I've been with the Chiefs for quite a while now, and the interesting part for me is watching from what they were for so many years, a team that wanted to win but really didn't know how to go about building it a franchise, and you know, they'd have a good team every now and then, but they never could sustain, you know, until their recent streak of 8 straight AFC West championships. They never won so much as division championship in back-to-back years until this. So seeing them go from what they were now to kind of the it franchise has been really interesting. That's been kind of a phenomenon, if you will. I never thought the Chiefs would get to this point. It was that bad for a lot of years.
Adam, to that point, what does it say about the GM, the coach, the quarterback, you know, and then the rest of the guys, that this is, they've become a Hollywood type team, the Kansas City Chiefs? What does that say about that?
Kansas City to Hollywood.
No, that's part of what I'm talking about here. You know, you don't generally see those kinds of things maybe in Kansas City, but it's a testament to a lot of people. You know, they've done such a good job finding lower-priced, younger guys to fill in around the Mahomeses and the Kelces and the Chris Joneses and some of the other good players they've got. It's really, they've done a really nice job doing that. I don't know that that's appreciated enough about the Chiefs. People think, well, you know, hey, of course they're going to win. They got Andy Reid and they've got Pat Mahomes and they got Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, but there's a lot of unsung people who have done a really nice job, and I'm talking about players mostly here, a lot of unsung people who have really filled in and become maybe more than what the Chiefs had a right to expect when they got them. So a lot of good work has been done here in terms of finding talent and developing that talent.
Yeah, a lot of good work, certainly a lot of good talent, a lot of good winning has been done as well. And man, there are superstars on this team that absolutely eclipse just football. Adam Teicher, ESPN Chiefs reporter. Thanks, Adam. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys.
It is pretty remarkable, though, Ian, that the team from Kansas City is
Hollywood.
They've gone Hollywood bonds, and it's not just the winning. The winning, obviously,
yeah, if you're losing, it doesn't matter. You're not Hollywood.
Right. You're not Hollywood. The winning,
you're not
obviously,
happening.
Certainly yeah. lays the foundation for this. But I mean, what just happened with the Kelce brothers with their podcast? What is $100 million? I mean, that's unbelievable. We're talking about these dudes that have made so much money in their NFL careers, but may actually go on to make so much more money in their post NFL careers because of what superstars they've become.
Yeah, look, both have a chip. You know, obviously Travis has more than his brother, but
still going, working on those chips.
To your point. Like, look at Trey Smith, you know, out of Tennessee as an offensive lineman, has a heart issue, and a lot of teams passed on him. What'd the Chiefs do? No, we'll take him. We got him. He's going to be one of the best guards, you know, and you can kick him out the tackle if you wanted to in the NFL. Leo Chenal out of Wisconsin, Can't run that fast. You know, big white guy. No. Here he is starting. You know, strong side linebacker, Kansas City Chiefs. They take chances on guys that others pass on. That it's what Adam was talking about. It's not just Mahomes and the Kelseys, right? It's where was Isaiah Pacheco taken out of Rutgers? The seventh damn round, right? They take chances on guys, and they hit on them more than they miss.
They've got to hit again this season. They've got a big task ahead of them, trying to become the first team in the Super Bowl era to three-peat, and they'll get started tomorrow on their quest to do that. Ravens,
yes, my dogs
Chiefs,
are barking, James. Yes.
8:20 p.m. Eastern. I was trying to cover it up
Chiefs?
For you.
They're all fired up by the underdogs, man. The underdogs, the Isaiah Pacheco's of the world. I mean, they're getting excited.
Who
Let's go. We got football.
Isaiah Pacheco.
Come on.
Coming
now.
Up next here on ESPN Radio, our NFL preview continues. We're going to play a little Got One, though. That's next, right here, also on the ESPN app.
With my dogs.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
In the midst of our NFL preview hour here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me at Amber W Sports. We're getting you ready for the NFL season because it's less than 24 hours from now. We've got action tomorrow night, people. We are back. We made it. We made it through the drought. We made it through all those terrible, those long months, and we are back. Full slate of college football this weekend and full slate of NFL football. So all is right with the world starting at 8:20 p.m. tomorrow night with the Ravens and the Chiefs. Let's play a little Got One in celebration.
Amber and Ian, Got One.
We got one!
Hello, producer James Steele.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? And you're already complaining
about
this.
I mean, not good, honestly. Yeah. If I'm being honest with you, Got One, traditionally, has always been, we get two choices, and we got one of the two. So
sometimes
it's multiple choice question. That's typically how this works. And about 60 seconds before we go back on air, James informs us, that ain't how this Got One is going to work, so I'm very unprepared.
To be fair,
I'm nervous. Now I've got agita.
I did put all of the topics right at the top of the Google Doc that we
use
every day.
Right, yeah, but
so.
I don't look
just to be
there.
Fair to me. All right.
James, I got your back on this one, Bubba. Sorry, Amber.
Just saying, to be fair to me.
I'm not. Amber just gave me a look of death, like a laser beam just went through my eyes. But, yeah, look, I got one is normally she's right, but, the topics are there. We're good.
This is
good.
More fun. It's more open-ended this way. All right. The first
more
got
open
one.
End, more open-ended.
Yeah,
you're getting
this is
the,
great.
Yeah, you're open-ended. Getting laser beam eyes, right? Here we go.
It's
come
very
on
fun. All right. So I guess I'll start with Ian. The team that we aren't really expecting to be good, that will surprise everyone. Who do you got?
I'm not even – this has nothing to do with – family, the Seattle Seahawks.
It has nothing to do with family.
Nothing.
Your brother's
absolutely
a coach.
Nothing.
The Seattle
zero.
Seahawks.
Zero to do with family. I think that come week 16, they're still going to be in the hunt for a wild card in the NFC. Has nothing to do with family. I am being dead serious when I say that. I really believe the Seahawks are going to be better than most people think.
Okay, so I guess it depends. See, this is why I don't like this. I throw nuance in things. I get all crazy. I want to add too many things into this because it depends what you mean by being good. I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be better than people think because people seem to think that they're going to be awful. And everybody just wants to automatically hand that division to the I feel like people think the Bucs are going to take a big step back. Now, I'm not suggesting the Bucs are going to be out here winning – a conference championship.
They're going to be right there in 17, week 17, week 18 also.
Yeah, they'll just be right there, I think, competing at the top of that division with the Falcons. And the Falcons are another one of those teams that I think, frankly, we could throw into this conversation. So, you know, I'll go Bucks, but it's kind of like what Ian just did. He's not putting the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. But
no.
Both of us think those teams may be being overlooked as just solid, you know, okay teams.
That was a good answer. See,
thank
you're
you.
Fine. You're fine.
It's gonna get dicey the further.
She's got
down
two
we
brains
go.
In her body right now. She's good.
True. But sometimes one of them steals power from the other one, so it's not a perfect system. I'm pregnant, by the way, for people who do not understand the reference. Go ahead, James.
All right. So let's
not just pregnant, 9 months pregnant.
Yes, very, very pregnant.
Extremely pregnant. Yeah. Yes. So let's take
like,
the other side.
He could come at any minute, so we need to speed this up, kind of.
All right. So then let's move on and let's go to the other side. The team we think will be good, but will fall on their face. Amber, what do you got?
Okay, so I think that this team's going to be good, but not the level of expectation we've set for them good. And for me, that's going to be the New York Jets. Because for me, the Jets are going to jet. You're relying on a 40-year-old quarterback who hasn't played his highest level of football in years, plural, coming off of a major injury to be the savior of that team and that franchise where things inexplicably always end up going wrong for that team anyways. And then, oh, by the way, have you looked at that division, Ian? It ain't easy. This is not an easy path for this New York Jets team. I think the Bills are going to be better than people think, frankly. So I'll go with the Jets because people think for them it's Super Bowl type stuff.
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. That last year, you know, with a rookie quarterback, you win a playoff game, you survive in advance. I think a lot of people are expecting them to contend and maybe face the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. I'm not saying fall on their face, but I would not be surprised if they were a 9-8 type team and missed out on the playoffs.
The first team who will switch quarterbacks, Ian, who do you got?
Steelers.
That was quick. Really? The Steelers are not my first team. The Steelers have a bye like week 9 or something. It's super late. That's kind of around
you're
when
spot
I think
on, by the way,
would,
it is week 9. You are 100% correct.
I think they would make that switch to Justin Fields if they're going to make it that. I think we might see Russell Wilson a lot longer than people expect, frankly. I don't think you name him as a starter if you're going to immediately unseat him. I'll go the Patriots, right? Because Brissett's supposed to start, isn't he? Before we move on to Drake May. Aren't they one of those teams that's going with the vet first?
They
but
are.
I think you get Drake May out there. I think the way that season goes, like, I don't know really what you're saving yourself. So I think they give it a couple games and they move on to their rook.
A surprise MVP candidate. Amber, who you got?
Anthony Richardson with the Indianapolis Colts.
Whoa!
Listen, AR.
Wow.
The AR
Gator
experience.
Gator up!
The AR experience is one of those, which I will tell you, is the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. But that dude has crazy talent. It doesn't always go well. It's not always accurate. And you even saw it in the preseason, right? Like, comes out, like, he drives them down the field at the beginning. I can't remember what preseason game it was.
The Bengals was like players were talking about, does he do it? Does he throw the ball?
Well, he, like, comes out. He was, like, 8-for-8 in one of those preseason games at the beginning of it. And then it was, like, the next drive. He, like, threw, you know, 3 interceptions or whatever it was immediately after that. That's the Anthony Richardson experience. What I will tell you, though, is at times that dude's the best football player I've ever seen in my life. There's also times where, you know, he's the worst. But it's that high, right, light, real kind of stuff. So if I'm choosing, like, crazy MVP candidate here, I'm going AR. The Colts might be better than people
that
think
is
if he can
long
stay healthy.
Odds. Hey, plus I'm, 10 bucks down the
you
toilet,
said
but
somebody
you're going to enjoy the ride. Yeah, I'm going to go Jared Goff. Decent odds.
All right. And a little less insane.
Yeah. And a quarterback who was second in the league. No one is expecting Jared Goff, right?
No.
It's second in the league in passing last year. Talented team. Give me Jared Goff at good odds.
The player who will actually win MVP, though.
Mahomes.
Neither
next.
Of those guys.
What do you got?
Mahomes. Yeah, next.
I'll say Lamar Jackson again. I could see Lamar getting it again to be different.
Amber, the coach's seat who will be surprisingly hot. Who do you got?
Nick Sirianni, because I don't think that the Eagles season is going to go much better, even with Kellen Moore being the buffer there between quarterback and coach. I'm not saying he should get fired, but I think his seat will be hotter than it should be.
Derek Allen, New Orleans Saints.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, that's...
That was fun. See, that was fun.
I don't need a multiple choice exam. Look at that. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we continue. We head back to the NFL. That's next right here on ESPN Radio.